I'm going to do one now, probably about the queerest example of moose hunting you ever heard of in your life. I can't really describe it, you just have to hear it. I call it Jerome. Now, old Skipper Bill hove off in his chair, listening to the stories and lies. The young fellas talked about poaching moose and jigging a few fish on the sly. Well, each story told was more far-fetched than the one that came just before. Skipper Bill had enough, said, "Listen now, boys, I got a fine tale in store." 'Twas the early 70s, or was it my early 70s? I really can't remember that far. When I took me boat and went out on the pond, and I figured I'd stay there till dark. My old bamboo pole and me tub of worms, I ventured a good ways offshore. It was just a small flat with no motor at all, just the tow pins in the gunnels and oars. Well, a half dozen trout was all that I caught, but I really could not have cared less. With the water so calm and sun on my face, I figured it a good time to rest. Yes, the sound of the birds in the crisp morning air and a gentle wind rustling the trees and a full day ahead to finish my catch, I began to drift off to sleep. Then all of a sudden a shotgun blast sure nearly jumped out of me skin, and another one followed right after, and a voice yelling, "Shooting again!" Then out of the woods, like the shot of a gun, came a moose looking around for protection. Well, he looked all around, he looked up, he looked down like a CFA looking for directions. Well, the thought crossed my mind to grab the oars and head to the other side. But when I turned around, I soon realised they were carried away with the tide. Then the moose left the shore and swam out to me, and here I had nowhere to go. And what his intentions were with me, I didn't think I wanted to know. It wasn't what you'd think, though, at all, as I stared in the face of this moose. He seemed to say, "Buddy, I need some help." And I said, "Yes, buddy, me too." So then with his rack, he took the painter in tow and he dragged me safe to the shore. I said, "Buddy, you just saved my skin, so I guess it's now time I save yours." So I knew a shortcut back to the truck, and the moose followed close behind. When we got there, I motioned to the pan of the truck, and pretty soon in it he climbed. Led down flat like he was dead, sprawled off in the pan of me truck. Passing by hunters with their guns and their vests, quite jealous of my fortune and luck. Well, back to my home, we arrived soon enough and pulled round the back of the house. Soon as he seen that we were alone, he quickly hopped up and got out. "Well, that was a close one," this moose said to me. That's right before I passed out. Then coming to realise it wasn't a dream, so I was gone for another bout. I finally woke up and came to grips and started to regain my composure. I thanked him and said, "Now be on your way." He said, "Huh, not till moose season's over." Well, to argue with a beast of this monstrous size, I didn't even bother to try. I just cleared a spot in the back of the shed, said, "That should do for the night." Well, what a commotion at quarter to three that brought me right to my feet. I come downstairs and looked out on the deck at this moose covered up in a sheet. Now, not just the sheet he had wrapped round his head and snarled all up in his points. It was the clothesline and all with wool socks, pants and bras, all snarled up with patio lights. Well, he lowered his head and apologised to me. He said, "You mind if I come in the house? It's awful lonely out there in the shed. I promise I'll be quiet as a mouse." Well, I let him squeeze in. Perhaps a stunning thing to do. It was a good thing we got double doors. He wasn't in for more than a second and a half, or he sprawled on the hardwood floor. He looked a bit like Bambi on steroids. You know, the way Bambi sprawled off on the ice? Well, I finally got him up on the daybed, with the daybed now nowhere in sight. Now, next morning he was hungry, and I didn't know just what to give him to eat. And he didn't like bottles of sweet mustard pickles, and he didn't like bottles of beet. See, moose are vegetarian, you see, so bottles of meat were no use. I couldn't give him a bottle of rabbit or turr, and heaven forbid, bottle of moose. Then with his hoof, he pointed to the backyard. He said, "I got a deal for you, Skipper. You won't have the mow for as long as I'm here. Just don't try to feed me them flippers." Well, there you have it. He stayed for a while, and everything worked out just fine. He eat the grass in our backyard, and we used his antlers for the clothesline. He went back in the woods when the hunter come out, but don't think it all ends there. He became a good friend of the family, and he comes back every year. Now, the boys couldn't believe it at all. They thought Bill was on the juice. I mean, there's no way in the world that this could be true. I mean, really? A talking moose? Well, Bill just smiled and looked at his watch. He said, "I think it's now time I head home. For the last 10 minutes, me ride's been outside, as a big bull moose named Jerome.